Kusasanpo and good afternoon to everyone la. Today I will be translating Rinpoche's teaching in English. After offering prayers to Buddha, Rinpoche says from today onwards, Rinpoche will be talking on the seven limb practice, that is, prostration, offering, confession, rejoicing, requesting to teach, requesting the Guru to live long, and lastly, dedication. Rinpoche says, as announced by Lamtila yesterday, he will be talking on the last teaching given 16 to 17 years ago by His Holiness Lay Kenjin Jimmy Finso before his Nirvana, and its relevance to the first limb, that is, prostration. While you are prostrating, if you do it in the right way, as instructed by great gurus, then you have not lost your own path. And when you prostrate, it is important that you don't harm other beings, where you don't kill insects or other beings while you are prostrating. Or, if you are prostrating in groups, other people should not be disturbed by the way how you prostrate. So basically, not harming the other sentient beings while prostrating is that you have not disturbed the minds of others. Rinpoche says, prostration is similar to cleaning. The word in chaksel is similar to the word cleaning, payatachaka chak. We clean our room and environment. Similarly, prostration is cleaning all the negative deeds of our body, speech, and mind. Prostration is done to a sacred entity. It can be lamas or monks. It can be your grateful parents or teachers, or to Buddha or Dharma, or its statues and sacred relics. The act of faith and devotion, along with respect to someone superior than you, is prostration. There are three kinds of prostrations, which are physical, verbal, and mental prostration. Physical prostration is done by showing faith and respect by your physical body. Verbal prostration is expressing the qualities of superior beings and praising their qualities. And mental prostration is having a mind of devotion to Triple Gem by thinking over their qualities. Rinpoche says that prostration should be an antidote to our pride. The main reason why we prostrate is because from the five poisons, the specific antidote to pride is prostration. It helps reduce your pride. Since you only prostrate when you feel inferior to the other being, in that way, the pride that stops you to learn new knowledge or wisdom would be reduced by the antidote of prostration. Rinpoche says, our prideful mind can be subdued by prostration of body and speech. And when we don't possess pride, we are capable of learning new knowledge. Whatever knowledge it may be, spiritual or worldly, if we have the pride that I am better than him or her, then there is no way that we will acquire new knowledge. If we have trust and believe that other person is better than us, then whatever knowledge the other person may have, we would have the interest to learn that, and eventually, even if it's just a single knowledge, we will receive it. So, prostration is the antidote of pride. In many texts and scriptures of Buddhism, it is given that to prostrate like a yogi. Prostration like a yogi means whichever prostration you do, having no attachment to your body, speech, and mind is a yogi prostration. Rinpoche says, most of us are not like that. If the ground or floor is dirty or muddy or dangerous, we think that it is not a comfortable place to prostrate, or we think that our hands or forehead may get dirty. We either keep a carpet on to prostrate, or we tend to avoid prostration if the place is dirty. So this is not a yogi prostration. Rinpoche says, a yogi prostration is when you are fully unattached to your body, speech, and mind, and prostrate, where you are free from self-care and selflessly prostrate. In Narak Tongthak, it is given that by a devoted prostration is done, banging the body against the ground. When you prostrate with great faith in mind, or when you regret your past bad deeds, it's obvious that you will prostrate with great force hitting against the ground. Rinpoche says, where you don't have a single thought like, I might hurt my head or body, or my face or hands will get dirty. Instead, you will prostrate with full intensity, hitting towards the ground due to the great regret of the past bad deeds, not caring about other things, To this, Rinpoche gives an example of a very sick person who is suffering from a great pain. The person will stay and do everything as long as the pain is getting rid of. He is willing to die if the great pain can be avoided. Similar to this, when you have great regret on your past action or when you have great faith in Dharma, when you prostrate, you will automatically prostrate without any hesitation or attachment to your body. Again, in different scriptures, it is given that prostration should be done like a wall crashing down. As a human, Rinpoche says, when we all fall down, we somehow have this reflex to avoid ourselves from getting hurt. But a wall who doesn't have a mind, when it falls down, it comes crashing down without any hesitation. So, just like that, when we prostrate, we must do it like a wall crashing down without any hesitation to hurt ourselves. Having great faith and great regret, it is a great way to accumulate merit and to get rid of our bad karmic deeds if we prostrate like that. Rinpoche says, even Guru Padmasambhava have instructed his disciple that prostration is done where you touch the forehead on the ground hardly. Rinpoche says, if we look at the Hindu practitioners or others, even in television, we see that when they are in great need or problem, they prostrate by hitting the head on the ground in front of their god or goddesses, to the extent of injuring the forehead and where the blood comes rushing out. So whatever prayer you make for a country or for the benefit of all sentient beings or for Buddhism to prosper, prostration is done by hitting your head hardly on the ground. So Rinpoche says, whenever you prostrate, you need to take it as an antidote to your pride. If you prostrate by complaining that you need a proper prostration plank or a floor, where you worry about your hands, face and knee, then it won't be that beneficial. However, it is still beneficial comparing to not prostrating at all. Otherwise, if you want to prostrate in the best way, then, as said earlier, you must prostrate without any hesitation or attachment, like a wall crashing down. Even in the words of my perfect teacher, Bhai Patro Rinpoche, it is given that when you prostrate, when you place your hand on the forehead, all your bad deeds of body have been purified. Placing your hand at your throat, all your bad deeds or karmic deeds of speech have been purified. And lastly, when you place your hand at your heart, it purifies your mind's negative deeds. And when you place your two palms, two knees and forehead on the ground, all the negative karmic deeds due to the five poisons get purified and you receive all the blessings of Buddha's body, speech and mind. Also, it is mentioned in Sutra that each atom down to the earth core covered by your body while you are prostrating to Buddha or Dharma or Sangha creates the cause to be born as a will-turning king for a thousand lifetime. Further, it becomes a cause to get enlightenment. With this, Rinpoche says, we can say that full-body prostration is more beneficial than doing half-body, as the effort is needed more in full-body prostration, and also according to the sutra, the more coverage your body takes on the ground, more meritorious it is. Again, if you're bodily incapable, you can still prostrate half body as it is also beneficial. And further, Rinpoche says, if you are a handicapped person or disabled to prostrate, even if you can't prostrate, if you can fold your hands like a lotus bud with a great faith and devotion, there is also a great merit in it. It is said that whosoever prostrate with great faith and devotion to Triple Gem, the merit accumulated will be as big as the universal space. If you chant Kinju Sumla Chasalo Namo Muzushiri Namo Sushiri Namo Dharma Shiri Soha when you prostrate, then even if you prostrate three times, it is similar to the merit of practicing the whole three teachings of Buddha. If you prostrate like this three times a day, every time, then not only you will be born as human being, great human being, but also will get to the path of enlightenment. It is the words of Buddha. Rinpoche says, the first limb of practice, prostration. If you practice prostration with other six limbs of practice, then it has a great merit. Prostration is an antidote to pride, and it is kept as the first limb of practice as it can further accommodate the other remaining six limbs that are offering, confession, rejoicing, requesting to teach, requesting the gurus to live long, and dedication. No matter which other six limbs you practice, if it is not associated or accommodated with prostration, which is the antidote of pride, then the other six won't be as meritorious as it is done without pride. So it is important that we have interest in doing prostration, taking it as an antidote to our pride. And further, the reason that all Buddha have Ushnisha, the crown of Buddha's head, is due to the respect and prostration that they have offered to their spiritual root gurus. Rinpoche says, even if it's a single prostration, it is very beneficial. Moreover, Rinpoche says, the relics of Buddhas or the sacred places where Buddhas and other Bodhisattvas have been is a great place to prostrate and accumulate merit. Even if it is your root guru's place or residence, it is good to prostrate, and if you cannot reach that place, you can prostrate in that direction. There are many great spiritual masters and practitioners in the past that have prostrated in the direction of their root master's residence and even prostrated to the places where their root masters have walked around. They prostrate to their root master's beddings and sittings, and even to the domestic bed that their root masters have kept. Rinpoche says, nowadays, many doesn't even prostrate to their parents or spiritual gurus. For example, tsatsa, small stupa like made from soil, and pictures of Buddha and Bodhisattvas on calendars are not even given importance to even prostrate. Moreover, the books are like Buddhas, so we shouldn't step or walk over it, instead do offering and prostration to them. Lastly, Rinpoche says, from tomorrow onwards, we will talk on the remaining six limbs of practice one by one. Well, this marks the end of English translation, and I beg your pardon if I made any mistake in translating Rinpoche's words, and at the same time, I apologize if I made any mispronunciation. Thank you so much for listening. Katinche La. Kuzuzampo and good afternoon to everyone La. Today, I will be translating Rinpoche's teaching in English. With prayers in the beginning, Rinpoche wishes everyone in the chatting group Kusasampo and Tashtele. Rinpoche says, as for today's teaching, as said last time, from the seven limb practice, today it's on the second limb that is offering. Rinpoche says that he will be describing offering in accordance to the two-line advice of His Holiness late Kinji Jimmy Finso. To not lose your own path can be taken in the view of offering that when you do offerings, you should offer without any conflicting views on how, when, and where the offering should be done. And do not disturb the minds of others means while you are doing offering, you should not directly or indirectly harm any sentient beings. For an example, insects dying in the butter lamp or the water offerings, or even after knowing that fact, if you intentionally do offerings with no compassion to the dead insect, or you directly kill an animal and offer its blood or organ. So if you do such things, then you will be accumulating demerit of disturbing the minds of others. Whenever you do offering of any kinds, outer, inner, or secret offerings, it is important that you do not lose your own path. At the same time, do not disturb the minds of others. So moving on with the second limb offering, to whom you should do offerings are, first, your parents who gave life to you. Second, teachers who gave you knowledge. Third, gurus who showed you the path to enlightenment. Fourth, gods and deities that help and protect you. Fifth, lovers who love you. And sixth, kings and leaders who give you the positions and rights. Seventh, benefactors who give you the life essentials. So, with a mind of great gratitude towards them, these are the places where you should do the offerings. Then comes the time or when you should do the offerings. First, in accordance to your own culture, you can do your annual ritual and do the offering at that time. Second, on the birth or the death anniversary of great gurus and Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, you can do offerings. Third, on the auspicious time or day given by the great beings, 4th, or the auspicious month of lunar calendar that are blessed by the great Lord Buddha, which are the first month of the Chumchuldawa, which is the miraculous day, the 4th month, Sagadawa, the festival of Vishakha, and the 9th month, Lhababdichen, the descending day of Lord Buddha. It is said that if you do any virtuous work on such months, it has great merits comparing to the other months. Rinpoche says, in every single month, there are many auspicious days such as the full moon day, the new moon day, Guru Rinpoche day, and the Dakini day, and many others where you can accumulate merit doing offerings and generosity on such auspicious day blessed by great bodhisattvas. And if taken in hour basis from 24 hours a day, if you can do offerings and prayers at dawn, which is the time when Lord Buddha got enlightened, and also your body will be more relaxed and at ease because of the rest you got from the sleep. Again, Rinpoche says that it is not that you have to only offer on such auspicious month, day or hour. You can do any time that you want or feel like. Mostly, you yourself will be more aware on when you should be doing, depending on the given time and situation. There is no such restrictions on when the offering should be done or when it shouldn't be. The next is, what should be offered? Whatever thing you offer, it shouldn't be something that you have got by harming other sentient beings, either by stealing or fraud or killing. In short, things you acquire by harming others should not be offered. Instead, offer things that you already have. Things that we usually offer are like incense stick, butter lamps, water offerings of drinking, washing, flowers, incense, light, perfume, food, and sound and music. Similarly, we can offer music and dance. All these are offerings. Most important thing that while offering, you should offer what belongs to you, that is, your body, speech, and mind, and also the merit that you have accumulated, and further dedicate all the merit to all sentient beings. Rinpoche says, there are many things that you can offer, such as your private properties, like your wealth, and more importantly, you can offer things that have not been privatized, like the sun, moon, stars, flowers, anything beautiful and good that you see, you can offer. And further, there are real offerings where you offer your wealth depending on your capability, even if it's just a single flower. And on the basis of these real offerings that you do, you can associate the real offering with the visualized or the imagined offerings. The visualized or the imagined offerings are those offerings that you do with the thinking of thousands of Dakinis offering to Buddhas and Bodhisattva and their pure lands where the merit accumulated is infinite. Rinpoche says, for anything to be offered, there are three important points that needs to be taken into consideration. 1. It should be pure. 2. It should be clean. And 3. It should be well arranged or beautiful. The first, the offering substance should be pure from negative deeds, where while acquiring the substance, you shouldn't have harmed any other beings like killing or stealing in the acquisition of that substance. Second, it should be clean. Whatever you offer should be clean. For an example, if you offer a butter lamp, if you have stolen the butter or the lamp from others, it is not good. Or the butter lamp you offer should not be dirty or smelly. Whatever you offer, your mind and the offering substance should be pure and clean. And lastly, the third point, it is important that whatever or wherever you offer, it should be well arranged and beautiful. Next is how you should do the offering. To this, Rinpoche says, the best way to offer is to visualize on the non-existence of every phenomena where there is no offerer or the offeree and the offering substance. Such offering is surrounded by the wisdom of Buddha, which is why it is the best way to do the offering this way. And Rinpoche says, if you can't offer with such mentality, then you should offer without any hope for ripening and reward. You shouldn't have a greedy mind that you will get blessings or reward by offerings to Buddha and Bodhisattvas. Even if you ask for blessing, you should pray that All the merits that you accumulate from this offering bless your body, speech, and mind, whereby you get enlightenment and further help free all sentient beings from this samsara. Offering should be done with a selfless mind. And again, Rinpoche says, if you are incapable to think or do it in the above two ways, you can at least, while offering, think of pleasing the minds of the superior beings. And by giving, think that no matter how small your generosity is, may it help the other person or other being. So, however way you do it, you need to do with a bodhicitta mindset in the beginning and a prayer or the merit dedication at the end. So, in this way, you do offerings by not losing your own path at the same time, not disturbing the minds of others. This marks the end of English translation. I beg your pardon if I made any mistake in translation. Thank you so much for listening. Katinchella. Kusasampo and good afternoon to everyone. La. Today, I will be translating Rinpoche's teaching in English. With prayers to Vajrasattva, Rinpoche wishes everyone in the group Dakshidalem. Rinpoche says, we have completed with prostration and offering from the seven branch practice, and today, teaching will be on this third branch, that is confession. Today's teaching is on the expiation of sin that we have accumulated by our body, speech and mind for kalpas and kalpas by confession and repentance. Confession will be taught in relation to the two-line advice to not lose your own path, to not disturb the minds of others by His Holiness Kenjin Jimmy Fenso. To not lose your own path while confessing is when you confess your sin with the presence of four component powers. And to not disturb the minds of others while confessing is when you confess with the four component power and at the same time you confess your sin where you do not do any sin continuously or you have stopped doing the sins that you have confessed. So, on this two-line advice, do not lose your own path, do not disturb the minds of others, Rinpoche says, you should confess and repeat on the sins with the four component powers. Rinpoche says, many people, when they confess on the sins to Buddhas, Bodhisattvas and to their root gurus, they take it similar to the apology that they make to their friends or foe when they make a mistake. Rinpoche says, this is not the correct way of confession. Instead, confession is like when you with an illness goes to a doctor for help or cure. Confession should not be like a worldly apology that we make to each other when we do something wrong. Inside confession on the sin in Buddhism, it should always be done with the four component powers. The four component powers are the power of support, the power of regret, the power of resolve, and the power of action as an antidote. The apology that we make to other people when there is mistake from our side is completely different from the expiation of sin by confession and repentance. Though we can say that the four component power is also there in the worldly apology, but the gravity in these two have a huge difference. Rinpoche says, the power of support is different between confession and an apology. The apology that we make when we make a mistake. In the substitute of the power of support, there is the person that you make the apology to. And in the substitute of power of regret, in apology, though there is also a regret of your past action, just like confession, however, the provision is small compared to confession. The apology is made to other person on one mistake or a single mistake, but confession of a sin is done with thinking of all the sins or the deeds, bad deeds that you have accumulated from kalpas and kalpas, sins that you remember and also those that you don't remember. The power of resolve, though in apology there is also resolve to the mistake where you promise you won't do harm or mistake to others again. However, the resolve is only in a single for a single mistake. But in confession, you promise never to do any sin from here onwards. And lastly, the power of action. In the worldly apology that we make to another person, we do it by words or by some gestures of offering khatas or money in order to get your apology accepted. However, in confession, the power of action is done by chanting mantras, doing prostrations, and meditating on compassion and emptiness. When we make apology to another person, we can't just chant mantras in front of them. We have to say words that will suit them and for an apology to get accepted. But in terms of confession, we can chant mantras, we can prostrate, meditate on Vajrasattva, and repeat on our sins and promise to never do it again. So it is important that we understand how confession is different from apology. Rinpoche says that these days even lamas and monks who have vowed on not drinking alcohol or eating meat, when they break their vow, they confess in front of Buddha or their own root masters, where they say, please don't get angry, or they say sorry to their root master. This is something that we say to another worldly person when we make a mistake. Rinpoche says, confession is like said before. If you are ill and you go to a doctor, saying sorry to that doctor won't help you. I got sick, I am sorry doctor. No one says that. When we go to a doctor, we ask if doctor could help us recover from the illness or the sickness. Or to this, even the doctor with a concerned mind will give us medicine or instruct on what to do further. And if you listen to the advice given by the doctor, you recover. So similarly, when you do confession in front of your root masters or Buddhas or Bodhisattvas, there should be a great regret on the sin or the action that you have done. Further promise or take vow that you would never do it again. And for your sins to be purified, you need to pray and use the power of action as an antidote. Rinpoche says, the opposite of darkness is light, the opposite of coolness is hotness, and similarly, the opposite of non-virtue is virtue. So it is important that all your non-virtue sins should be dealt with the virtue action like chanting mantras, prostrations, and meditating. If your body, speech, and mind doesn't do any actions to subdue these negative deeds, then having just a regret on your sins will only help you in not doing more sins in future. However, the sins that you have already, bad deeds that you have already accumulated won't be purified if you don't associate it with the power of action as an antidote. Rinpoche says, these days many people think that confession is like an apology we make to someone when we hurt them, which is completely wrong. If given an example, if you did a great sin or a bad deed and try to apologize to your root master, that root master wouldn't be angry. Instead, due to his bodhicitta mind, he will feel more compassionate towards you who did such great sin. Maybe to help you, some may get angry to bring you to a better path. However, they will feel more compassionate instead of getting angry. Similarly, when you confess your sins, like an apology to Buddha and Bodhisattvas, instead of getting angry at you on what you did, due to their bodhicitta mind, they will feel more compassionate towards you. It is just like a sick child. A mother will only feel more compassionate or will only love the sick child even more instead of getting angry at the sick child. So when we confess our sins, it is like we are getting treated for our illness or asking the doctor to cure our illness. Rinpoche says, you can confess your sins to your spiritual root master or to a Buddha's relics or statues, or you can visualize Buddhas or Bodhisattvas and with great regret of past bad deeds, promise or taking vow on not doing it again and doing the opponent action of the bad deeds, that is good deeds. So in this way you can purify your sin. Rinpoche says it is important that we know the difference between the worldly apology and the confession of our sin. Like said earlier, even the four component powers are different in terms of this too. Though many might already know about the difference between the two, however, there are few who won't be knowing about it. If given an example, a person who takes a vow or promise in front of their root masters on chanting something, or may take a vow on not doing a particular sin. However, when they break the vow, they go to their root masters and say sorry, as if the root master is angry at them, so they have to say sorry, which is completely wrong. Rinpoche says, when you break a vow on something, you confess your sins to Buddhas and Gurus, not because that they will get angry or disappointed at you, but you yourself should know the consequences of your bad deeds or sins, and to prevent them, or prevent the consequences, or to prevent the karma, you confess your sins. Rinpoche says, though there are many ways on confessing your sins, Rinpoche have not talked about on it. However, Rinpoche says that he have only talked on it the worldly base, on the worldly basis, where many makes mistakes between confession and apology. Lastly, Rinpoche says that in the group there are many from overseas who are the disciples of Lama Jimmy and who have also sent a message of gratitude to Rinpoche and the group. To this, Rinpoche says thank you and hopes that all of you are practicing well on the teachings of Lama Jimmy as well. And Rinpoche says that he prays and hopes that the world recovers from coronavirus and we all come together. Further, Rinpoche says that to all the disciples and to all related to Lama Jimmy as well as to Lama Jimmy, Rinpoche and his Drasang is always praying for them. This marks the end of English translation, and I beg your pardon if I made any mistake in translating Rinpoche's words. Thank you so much for listening. Katinchela. Kuzo Sampo and good afternoon to everyone. Today I will be translating Rinpoche's teaching in English. Rinpoche starts with prayer offering to his root master, His Holiness Lake Kinchin Jimmy Finso, and wishes everyone in the group Chetin Tashidale. Rinpoche says, today he will be talking on the fourth branch or the limb of seven branch practice, that is rejoicing, in relation to the last advice given by His Holiness Lekin Jimmy Finso. Rejoicing is the antidote of jealousy. Jealousy to someone's merit or their happiness is a greatest sin. Rinpoche says, if there is a presence of jealousy, then even if you are a monk or a lama, you are not a true practitioner. It is said by Buddha himself, a jealous person doesn't possess any merit or happiness. The reason why there is no merit for a person who is jealous is because even if that person practices dharma, he or she only practices because of the mind of competition and jealousy. And the reason why there is no happiness for a jealous person is because the jealousy that is present in his or her mind for other person's happiness or their merit will never let his or her mind be in peace. A person of jealousy can only be happy if there is a problem in other person's life. His source of happiness is the unhappiness of other person. And if the other person is happy, he becomes sad because of his jealousy. Jealousy is something that can easily appear and have a great sin. So, the antidote to jealousy is rejoicing. To the prosperity of all sentient beings, those who you know, to those whom you don't, and also rejoicing to the dharmic deeds of other persons, which will lead to the cause of their happiness in future. Rejoicing on other person's happiness means you need to feel proud and happy for the person who's doing well in life. Whether that person is good-looking or wealthy or have a good position in society, without any jealousy, you should feel happy and proud to that person. That is rejoicing. Rinpoche says, if you rejoice properly on others, there is no place for jealousy to appear. It's like light and darkness. If there is light, there is no darkness, and if it is dark, that shows the absence of light. Similarly, if any sentient beings have the mind of rejoicing, then there is absence of jealousy and vice versa. Rinpoche says, now when we apply, do not lose your own path to rejoicing. If you feel happy for other person's dharmic deeds and their happiness, or if you practice on rejoicing on other person's happiness, then it means you have not lost your own path. and do not disturb the minds of others, mean that there should not be a jealous mind to others. Jealousy can disturb both others as well as your own mind. A jealousy will only lead to failure to both parties. Jealousy will never give failure to others and victory to you. Wherever you look, be it an organization or a group or a family or even if it's a single individual, if there is a presence of jealousy between the two, then both will lose. The bad actions that you might do due to jealousy will harm others as well as yourself. It will lead to more enemies or foes, be it human or other celestial bodies. There will be more number of haters only. So, if you can stay without jealousy, then you have not disturbed the minds of others, and rejoicing means you have not lost your own path. So Rinpoche asks all of us to introspect ourselves whether we have the mind of rejoicing or whether we have the mind of jealousy. If we can rejoice on others' merit, even we can accumulate merit from others' merit. Rinpoche says, if we don't have to put any effort or money and easily accumulate great merit by rejoicing, then isn't it a wonderful and an easy way to accumulate merit? There is nothing more easier and good to accumulate merit by just being happy for others' happiness. Many of us spend lots of money, effort, and time for the betterment of this life as well as next life. But in this case, we don't have to do anything but to be happy for others. It is a great and a easiest way to accumulate merit. So, all of us should not lose our path by rejoicing on others' good deeds and happiness, and should not disturb the minds of others by not being greedy or jealous. Lastly, I would like to apologize for the delay in English translation. At the same time, I would like to apologize for my shortcomings in translating Rinpoche's words and teaching. Thank you so much for listening. Katinchella. Kusasampo and good evening to everyone. La. Today I will be translating Rinpoche's teaching in English. Rinpoche starts with prayer to His Holiness Lekin Nyingma Phintso and greets all the members of Chetan Group. Rinpoche says, today on the 26th of the 8th month of lunar calendar, he will be talking on the two-line advice given by His Holiness Lekin Nyingma Phintso, which is very easy and applicable to all worldly and spiritual practitioners. If you keep the two-line advice, do not lose your own path, do not disturb the minds of others by our heart, then not only it will benefit us in this life, but also in next life by showing the path of enlightenment. So, Rinpoche says he will be talking on the fifth branch, requesting to turn the will of Dharma or requesting to teach from the seventh branch practice in relation to the two-line advice. Rinpoche says, requesting to turn the will of Dharma is a great way to accumulate immeasurable merit. And to this, there are two types. One, requesting to turn the will of Dharma in real, and two, visualizing or requesting gurus to turn the will of Dharma. Requesting to turn the will of Dharma in real means when we, with an objective to benefit ourselves and others in this life as well as next, request our gurus or any lamas to give teachings. Rinpoche says, the reason why we have to request our gurus and lamas to turn the will of Dharma is not because they are very arrogant or egoistic, but it is because of the great value that is there in Dharma, which was given by Lord Buddha with great sacrifice and struggle. Buddha have turned the will of Dharma. So we cannot consider Dharma as something that is easily available like things in market. There should be respect and importance given to the Dharma that was given by Lord Buddha after suffering so much. So this is why we request lamas and gurus to turn the will of Dharma to accumulate merit. Even Buddha himself, after he got enlightened, heavenly gods requested Buddha to turn the will of Dharma. So, even these days when great gurus and lamas don't give teaching, we who have some understanding and faith should request the guru or lama to turn the will of Dharma for the benefit of all sentient beings. Whosoever you have faith in, be it your guru or lama, Kenpo, Otiku, or Kanru, Rinpoche says, you should request them to turn the wheel of Dharma. Either you can do it on your own, or you can make a group with your Dharma friends and request to turn the wheel of Dharma. It has a great benefit if you do so. Rinpoche says, when you request your root guru to turn the wheel of Dharma, it's important that you are not empty-handed. Even when heavenly gods requested Buddha to turn the wheel of Dharma, they, at that time, offered riches and great treasures to Buddha. So similarly, we all should never be empty-handed. Either we can offer flowers or khadas to our root masters to turn the wheel of Dharma, or if you don't have anything, you can at least prostrate 3 times and fold your hands together and request your guru to give teachings. Again, it is important that you are requesting your root guru, not ordering the guru to turn the wheel of Dharma. We should know that even though our root guru may seem like any other ordinary person, however, he or she is the son of Buddha and Bodhisattva that came to help all sentient beings, and he or she has all the knowledge. So with great faith and devotion, we should fold our hands in a lotus bud and request the guru to turn the wheel of Dharma for the benefit of all sentient beings. So requesting in such manner is requesting to turn the wheel of Dharma in real. These days, even if we can't in person request the gurus to turn the wheel of Dharma, we can request in any other means of communication, and the benefit is same in both the cases. The second type is to visualize and request to turn the wheel of Dharma. Rinpoche says, here you need to visualize yourself in front of thousands of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, where numberless of replicas of yourself, offering thousands of riches and treasures to each guru, each Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and requesting them to turn the wheel of Dharma for the benefit of all sentient beings. So with great objective and devotion, you visualize thousands of replicas of yourself offering thousands of riches and gems to thousands of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas to turn the wheel of Dharma. So when we request Guru to turn the wheel of Dharma in the right way, whether it is real or visualized, doing it correctly means you have not lost your own path. And do not disturb the minds of others means when you request to Guru to teach, offering things that is harmful to sentient beings like meat and alcohol, or in different religion they sacrifice animal for offering, doing such kinds means you have disturbed the minds of others. If we take an example, if you hold an annual ritual or maybe invite lamas or monks to do some prayers and ritual at your home, you might kill your domestic animals like cow, pig, hen to have a feast, or you may offer alcohol to people who have come to your house, or even to the monks, where at the end fights and quarrels may even rise up due to the alcohol. So doing such things means you have disturbed the minds of others. Whether it's for the dead or living, whatever dharmic work you do, even the offering you make to the lamas or the monks who have come for the prayers and recitals, it should not be mixed with greed. Rinpoche says, according to your own haves and have-nots, you make offerings to lamas and monks with proper intention and faith. Whosoever you have invited in your house to do your prayers, you should be respectful towards that person so that you accumulate the merit of requesting to turn the wheel of Dharma. When you invite monks, lamas and astrologers or even a lay practitioners to do some prayers, you should not look down at them and order them to chant prayers and rituals like your servant. Instead, even if you can't respect them personally, you can still respect the dress that they are wearing, that is the dress code of Buddha and Dharma, and the capability to chant the Buddha's Dharma even if it is a single mantra. So, Rinpoche says, consider the person you have invited, his or her dress has sangha, his or her speech of chanting mantra and reciting Buddha's teaching has Dharma, and his or her goodwill towards the host has Buddha, whereby you respect him or her and offer good food and treat him well when you have invited him to do your prayers. Otherwise, if you look down and order on the person, on the monk or lama or whosoever that came to your house on your invitation to do some prayers, then even if you are trying to accumulate merit, however, you have disturbed the minds of others. Thereby, you will be only accumulating sin. So even if you are requesting a guru to turn the wheel of dharma, it's important that you have not harmed any sentient being while doing so. In this way, you have not disturbed the minds of others. And which says, these days, when people invite great gurus to teach, many issues on land, praying a hall for teachings arises between the people. The powerful one suppresses the weak ones, and at the same time, the weak ones insults the powerful ones. Though from far, it may look like a guru is giving teaching on the request of disciples or the people around. However, in real, many issues are already there between the disciples and the people. So, as said by His Holiness late King Jinjime Fenso, even when we are requesting guru to teach or to turn the will of dharma, it's important that the requester and the benefactors should request without harming any sentient beings. It is important that we all keep this in mind, and even in future, even if we request on the oral transmission as well, it is important that we have not harmed any sentient being while doing so. This marks the end of English translation. I apologize if I made any mistake in translating Rumbuchi's words. Thank you so much for listening. Katinchella. Kuzosapo and good afternoon to everyone, la. Today, I will be translating Rinpoche's teaching in English. Rinpoche starts with prayers and greets all the members of Chitin group. Rinpoche says, today's teaching is on the sixth branch, requesting not to pass into Parinirvana from the seventh branch practice. Requesting not to pass into Parinirvana is mainly done for the long life of our guru or spiritual masters. And even the sixth branch will be talked in relevance to the two-line advice given by His Holiness late King Jinjime Fenso. Rinpoche says, there are two types of requesting guru not to pass into Parinirvana. First is with the intention and second is with action. The first type, that is requesting guru by intention for long life, means there are certain limitations by our body, speech, where we can't reach places like heavens in different dimensions. So we need to visualize thousands of ourselves in front of Buddhas, Bodhisattvas and Gurus and request them to live long as a light of Dharma for the benefit of all sentient beings, whereby we offer riches and treasures to them. We call great beings as light of Dharma because wherever they are, they hold and spread Dharma in that place. If Dharma exists, the place will eventually be prosperous. For an example, if there is a butter lamp, then the room will be bright from its light. So if one day, if the oil finishes, then the light will not be there. Just like this example, if the light of Dharma lives long, then with their prayers and dharmic works, the Dharma will exist in that place. Whereby, by practicing the Dharma, the people in that place will learn about the do's and don'ts, further will plant the seed of enlightenment. When such great beings dies, it's like a candle burning out, due to which the darkness will spread as there won't be anyone to guide us to the path of enlightenment. So, to prevent the butter lamp from dying, we need to add more oil in it and prevent it from dying. Similarly, we, the disciple who is aware of it, should request our gurus or spiritual masters to not pass into Parinirvana. And while requesting our gurus or lamas to not pass into Parinirvana by our intention, like said before, we should visualize ourselves in front of them wherever they are and request not to pass into Parinirvana. And at the same time, it is very important that we should visualize that after requesting, our requests have been accepted by them. Thereby, for thousands of kalpas and kalpas, the great beings will always be there for all the sentient beings. In this way, we accumulate great merit and there is no difference between the two types of requesting. Rinpoche says, if you do this according with such intention, you have not lost your own path And while requesting for not to pass into parinirvana, you should not discriminate. For an example, you only request on Guru Padmasambhava and its manifestation, whereby you ignore Buddha and its manifestation. Similarly, you do for only Tara and its manifestation or reincarnation, and at the same time look down and discriminate on others. Whether it's on Buddha, Bodhisattva, or different branches of practitioners, if you do with discrimination, then you have disturbed the minds of others. So, without any discrimination on Bodhisattvas or different types of practitioners or gender or place, we need to request to all to not pass into parinirvana. If we are requesting by such intention, then we have not disturbed the minds of others. The second type is requesting not to pass into parinirvana by action. It is important that we not only request by intention or meditate on it, but also put our action into it as well. Rinpoche says, each individual should request your grateful parents, your teacher who taught you, and also the gurus that have showed you the path of enlightenment, not to pass into parinirvana. Unless they have passed away, these are the ones that we can meet and request in real, especially if they are in old age or sick or is sad or says that they should die sooner. We, the children or the disciple or the related ones, should do our best in requesting them not to pass into parinirvana. Rinpoche says, how you should request, whether it's on your parents or your teacher, sir or madam, or your spiritual guru, along with prostration and folded hands, you should say to them not to be sad or request them to live long, and also should request them to try to live long in a good way with a beautiful, by using beautiful words and tone. And if you can reach them by body, you should help them. If they are sick, take care of them. And even by mind, you should, with good intention, should pray to all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas for the long life of your guru or your parent or teacher. And if you have wealth, you should use it to help in terms of medical expenses as well as spiritual rituals. By doing this, it can also benefit yourself to accumulate great merit. So, to your great grateful parents, teachers and gurus, you must, by your body, speech and mind, and also by wealth, should try to help them and request them to live long and not pass into parinirvana. Rinpoche says, when you do in such manner, then you have not lost your own path, and when you take care of your parents, teacher or guru, when they are sick, especially for a long duration, there might be times when you get frustrated or complain why they are still not dead, or especially in the case of incurable illness. So if you discriminate or look down on the patient by saying bad and omniscient things, then you have disturbed the minds of others. Complaining on the expenses or the effort to look after them, if it's a guru, you tell them it's better to pass into parinirvana as it is difficult to take care of them any longer, or telling them that they are incurable, saying the doctors can't treat you now or the ritual is helpless, or saying such negative and bad words, or even thinking or even showing some gestures of it in real or even through communication, that will make the parents or the teacher or the guru feel bad, which means you have disturbed the minds of others while requesting them not to pass into parinirvana. Thereby, you accumulate great sin. Instead, Rinpoche says, you should, towards your parents, teachers and gurus, you should try your best by your body, speech and mind and wealth for their long life, where you don't say or even show a look of frustration or tiredness, and instead say good words and show only good things, which ultimately means you have not disturbed the minds of others, whereby you accumulate immeasurable merit. So, lastly, Rinpoche says, we all should keep the two-line advice, do not lose your own path, do not disturb the minds of others in mind when we are requesting great beings not to pass into parinirvana, whether it is done by our intention or by our action. This marks the end of English translation. I beg your pardon if I made any mistake in translating Rinpoche's words. Thank you so much for listening. Katinchela. Good sampo and good evening to everyone la. Today I will be translating Rinpoche's teaching in English. Rinpoche starts with prayer offering to Lord Buddha and greets all the members of Chöden group on the auspicious month of descending day of Lord Buddha. Rinpoche says, today's teaching is the continuation of the seven branch practice where today we have reached the last branch, that is, dedication of merit. Rinpoche says, even the last branch, dedication of merit, will be talked on the relevance to the two-line advice given for the benefit of all sentient beings by His Holiness Lake Kinijime Fenso before His Parinirvana. Dedication of merit, just like the name suggests, whatever merit you have accumulated, big or small, by your body, speech and mind, you dedicate it to all sentient beings, not just yourself. And in aspiration prayer, though it is good to have merit accumulated, however, it is not necessary that there should be a merit accumulated for the aspiration prayer. Even without any merit accumulated before, we can still do the aspiration prayer with bodhicitta mindset. It can also be a practice for our mind for bodhicitta mindset. Rinpoche says, dedication of merit is like a generosity to sentient being. To those who don't have anything to give, dedicating the merit you have accumulated, small or big, by chanting mantras or offering butter lamps, or even the merit you accumulate from good intention, all merit by your body, speech and mind, keeping the objective of benefiting all sentient beings without any hesitation, is generosity. In aspiration prayer, it is a dedication that you do for the betterment. It is the upward thinking. Unless your intentions are evil, otherwise, an aspiration prayer is always a prayer that all sentient being gets into a better place or be prosperous. Only the upward thinking of happiness and prosperity for all sentient beings are present. Whereas in merit dedication is when we dedicate all our merit for the sentient beings that are suffering in samsara. Even to merit dedication, there are two types. First, dedicating your merit as an offering to all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Second, dedicating your merit as a generosity to all sentient beings that are suffering in samsara. Merit dedication of all merit accumulated of past, present and future can be an offering to all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and at the same time it can be a generosity for all sentient beings in suffering. In aspiration prayer, the objective is for the betterment. For an example, bring out a sentient being from suffering. Aspiration prayer is only with an upward thinking. So, whenever you do merit dedication and aspiration prayer, you should do without any hope for ripening or reward and should do it continuously with a sincere mind. Then you have not lost your own path. Similarly, when you do merit dedication and aspiration prayer as an offering to Buddhas or Bodhisattva or as a generosity for all sentient beings, you should not differentiate among them. That way, you have not disturbed the minds of others. Rinpoche says, when we do merit dedication or prayer aspiration, it is important that we do not hope for ripening or reward. For instance, you hope that after dedicating your merit, you will get a reward in return, having the final objective on yourself. Though there is no restriction that you shouldn't do like that, however, it is not the best way to dedicate your merit or prayer aspiration. Or you hope for a karmic ripening that if you dedicate your merit in return in future, you will be happy or prosperous. Again, this is not the best way as there is no pure selfless intention. So, without any selfish reason, with great devotion and compassion, you can offer your merit dedication to Triple Gem or give as a generosity to sentient beings suffering. And Rinpoche says, it is important that whenever we do prayer dedication or merit dedication or do prayer aspiration, we do it continuously. For instance, today you chant some mantra and do merit dedication. However, from tomorrow you decide that you won't do merit dedication. Then your merit dedication or prayer aspiration have been interrupted. Instead, you should dedicate all your merit prayer aspiration until all sentient beings get enlightened without any hope for ripening or reward, where even if you chant a mantra, you do it for the benefit of all sentient beings. So Rinpoche says, from today onwards, it is important that we know the difference between merit dedication and prayer aspiration, and it can be done as offering as well as generosity. So we should try our best to dedicate our merit and do prayer aspiration for the benefit of all sentient beings until all reach the state of enlightenment. Lastly, I would like to request everyone to go through the announcement given above by Chittipong Monastery. And to those who are interested, you can send the names of your loved ones or deceased for the prayer and merit dedication. And if you have any doubts or queries, you can contact the coordinators of Chitin Group. Thank you so much for listening. Katin Chela.